The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about adult literacy. This is National Adult Education and Family Literacy Week. My guest is Lecester Johnson, CEO of the Academy of Hope Adult Public Charter School in the District of Columbia. If you have any questions or comments or experiences surrounding adult literacy, we'd like to hear from you tonight. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Maurice was asking about Dexter Manley, who played for the Burgundy and Gold here in Washington. And the question was, if he could not read, how was he able to understand his playbook?
Mm-hmm. He probably wasn't reading his playbook. People who struggle with very low literacy who can't read really learn to accommodate their literacy issues and hide it. We always give an example of someone in your family, perhaps, who asked you to read something because they don't have their glasses and they just can't see the little writing. Or someone who says, you know, if you meet someone on a bus stop who says, I can't, they've changed the bus routes on me, I can't understand, you know, what's happened, and they'll ask you to help them out. So people who are struggling with, who are non-readers and who are struggling with very low literacy have a really good way of masking their issues, but also can get other people to help them do it. So he might have I don't know, it'll be interesting to find out. You know, he's learned to memorize, mm-hmm. you know, verbal things. Someone reads something to him and has an excellent memory because that's the way he understands.
So they're compensating.
Yes, absolutely.
For a deficit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Maurice. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Tricia calling from D.C. Tricia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I've been working in healthcare for over 25 years, and I've definitely seen an uptake on individuals that have difficulty reading and definitely show some of those same signs of low literacy. And us as a community, we just need to understand that definitely it goes far reaching, that when you're not able to read your medication or how to take a certain dosage or even to research and read about a condition, those are the things that's affecting communities, and we need to really be due diligent about maybe providing different programs. This is an excellent program right here, but we have so many churches and so many other resources in the area that we need to really start addressing adult literacy because it is a serious issue in our community.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, and adult literacy really is a stepchild, or adult education is a stepchild to education. We spend a lot of time talking about K-12, and rightly so, but the conversation unintentionally excludes adult literacy. And really the conversation about education should be adult literacy and K-12 and higher ed. It's an and conversation, not an or. And I think that's one way that we can really start to say that adult education or adult literacy is a part of the full continuum of education, that we include it in our discussions. And that's part of what we're trying to do this week, to get people to include adult education as part of the legitimate education system.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Cheryl. Cheryl calling from Upper Marlboro. Hey, Cheryl, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
What's on my mind is, I noticed when I was growing up and I learned to read, we learned to read with phonics, but I'm noticing that my grandchildren don't do much phonics. They get lists of words to memorize, and I'm just wondering, I want your thoughts on it, because I'm thinking that maybe that had a big effect with people not being able to read today, because there's so many words out there. I mean, at least if we don't know what they mean, we can sound them out because we were taught through phonics. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. When I was in school, I had phonics too. And I have to say, for me, it's really helped when I encounter words that I've never encountered before, and how, you know, developing what we call word attack strategies. I do think there was something lost in not being able to have phonics when they pulled phonics out.
For those who aren't familiar, explain what phonics are.
Phonics really is a way of sort of breaking words down by sound and learning how to attack new words. And you learn different sounds for the letters and symbols. And it really helps you to sort of really attack, or when you encounter new words, to learn how to pronounce
them. You mean like sound, just sounding them out? Or is it more complex than that?
Oh, it's a lot. I'm not a reading expert.
Okay, well, yeah.
it's a little more complex.
It's interesting, you know, Cheryl, when you talk about it, you know, for myself, phonics was not, you know, the technique. You know, our teacher just said, sound it out and work it out. But beyond that, the other thing that we always learned, you know, growing up here in the D.C. metro, is the best way to learn how to read is to read.
Mm-hmm.
Once you begin to gain some basic knowledge of words, and not just to read, but to understand, and comprehension was also a really, really big part of that. So, Cheryl, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Rick calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Rick. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Daily Drum. Thanks for accepting my call.
Sure.
As a recipient of D.C. Public Schools and a participant of adult education, I can say that for the most part, you're at the steering for developing your reading ability. If you feel like you have some weaknesses in reading, I think that you have to be responsible and seeking the help. A lot of times people feel inferior about allowing themselves to be exposed as a low-level reader or someone who might be functionally illiterate. I just want to say that leaving high school early and being able to get adult education and completing and, you know, actually going to college and being a better reader, I just want to say that, you know, it's kudos to adult education. Having said that, though, I noticed that there has been some changes. And I just want to know, the changes being from not being able to receive a high school diploma to receiving a GED, and then with Hope Academy in particular, what is the completion rate, of your institution?
Okay, well, let's see if she can answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
So the success rate for our students is measured. We have a number of measures, but absolutely, in getting the high school diploma is what we want people to do, and that's the GED. Now, in D.C., I think hopefully most of you know now that if you pass the GED, you can get a high school diploma. That just happened in February. So 75% of individuals who attempt a GED when they've gone through our program pass it, students who are in our program. So we have a really strong pass rate on the GED. In 2014, the GED change. I mean, there was a significant overhaul. It aligned with the Common Core. It's much harder. It's taking people a longer time to get through it because they need to, the skills that are needed are much different than the old GED. So we had a huge drop in the number of passers for the first 2 years of the new exam. And now we're starting to see the passers pick up, but we're also seeing that folks are much better prepared. If they are interested in going on to college, they're able to go into credit-bearing courses. Whereas before, with the old GED, many people would have the goal of going to college, but they'd have to spend some time in developmental courses. So there have been a lot of changes. It's tougher. The new GED is much tougher. But the good news in D.C. is that when you pass it, you get a high school diploma for passing it.
Okay, Rick, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Johnson from Temple Hills. Is this the same Johnson who called earlier?
No, sir.
Okay, well, then go right ahead.
Yes, sir. How you doing today? Thanks for accepting my call.
Sure thing.
As I was driving, I turned on my car after leaving work, and I just listened to your broadcast, and it's definitely a conversation that's close to me and dear to my heart, because everything that you guys have been speaking on and people have been calling in and commenting on is what I've experienced in my life. And I'm a 55-year-old man, and I never learned to read at a young age. You know, and the guy said that he didn't understand certain situations, but when you have a fearful, you know, situation going on and you don't want people to know your secret, it kind of keeps you from stepping out, you know, to come forth and let people know you have the situation. But, you know, I like to say that there's things that I need to do that I wanted to do because I was a weak reader. I wouldn't do because of the fear of what people would think about me and how I would feel on the inside. So it was more of me self, you know, hating myself versus worrying about what somebody else thought. So I just need to make that statement to let people know that there is, you know, a fear that people still have, and I'm still one of them, and I'm looking for help. But I just understand the young lady said that there's an only D.C. thing, and I'm a Maryland native.
Hold on, Johnson, because we did talk a little bit about some resources, and Ms. Johnson has the same suggestions that we mentioned earlier, if you missed them. So please go right ahead, Ms. Johnson.
Sure. Well, the first thing I would say, if you're in Maryland and you don't call us, we know the people in Maryland. We know how to get you connected. If you want to call us, we're happy to get you connected to resources in Maryland. One way to start, you know, if you don't want to give us a call, you can just do a Google search or some sort of search for your literacy council, and that'll be the first place. And generally, there's a number that you can call or a website you can visit. But if you want us to help you, we will gladly help you get connected. You can call us at 202-269-6623, or you can visit us at our website at aohdc.org. Anyone at Academy of Hope would be happy to help you get connected to services.
And Johnson, let me just say, you know, I certainly salute your courage. I mean, certainly we can't see you, but for you to be able to, you know, pick up the phone and call and talk about, you know, the seriousness of this and how this has impacted you. And so many people take reading for granted, mm-hmm. for those who do it well and for those who have been doing it, you know, for a long time. And so I would certainly encourage you, you know, to reach out to the Academy and to get as much information as you can, because it's not too late to be a better reader. And once you become a better reader, an entire world will open up to you, and not just as it relates to, you know, your money and your lifestyle, but just the joy mm-hmm. of reading is just wonderful. So, you know, Johnson, you know, thank you so much for giving us a call, and I hope that you're able to get the help that you want. Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Actually, I need to take a break because we are getting close to the quarter hour. But David, calling from Michigan, stay with us. Also, Richard, calling from Fort Washington, I'll be taking your calls next. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Of course, we're continuing our conversation about adult literacy. Let me go back to the phone lines. David, calling from Michigan. Thanks for calling, David. What's on your mind?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Doing just fine.
All right. I'm a late beginner. I was someone who learned to read at a late age, but I didn't get tested until I was almost 32 and found out that I had dyslexia. Mm-hmm. But so reading has always been a struggle. But my real struggle is writing. Even though I attended college for 4 years, I was not able to compete because of my writing skills were not up to par. So I was trying to find out the struggle with reading, but what can I do to improve on my writing?
The best way to improve your writing is to write. And one of the first things that we do with new writers at Academy of Hope is to get them writing, because people think that if the grammar isn't correct or if they don't know sentence structure, that they can't put anything on paper. So they don't get anything on paper. And so our first step is put things on paper in the way that you think it should be. Then we start to build your skills around grammar, around sentence structure. But getting things on paper, getting over the fear of putting that first sentence on the paper is the first step, because the fear is real and because you don't know all of the rules. But to lose that fear, just start writing. And then we start to work with editing the work and helping you to learn the rules that you need to write properly.
Mm-hmm. Dave, just one question.
Go ahead.
It's not the sentence structure. I just struggle with spelling words because, mm-hmm. It just words, thank God for spell check. But the spelling, I mean, I just struggle so hard with the spelling. So I have the sentence, I have this computer, I could speak into the computer and spell the word. But as far as me sitting down writing, I wouldn't know where to start spelling it, because I really struggle with my spelling, my grammar.
Mm-hmm. Are you using something like DeckTalk or for your...
I don't know what it is. My wife got this thing. It's just like when I don't really text a lot, but I have this thing on the phone where I could talk.
Okay.
And it does the texting for me, you know. So those are the kind of things that help me. I wish I had something like that on a computer, because my spelling is terrible. I mean, I could read the stuff, but I just can't spell it. If you ask me to spell a word, I struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
I even do public speaking, but I can't write out my speech. So I go from there. You talked about how we cover up. I mean, we... Folks who don't know how to read and spell, we listen quite well. So I pretty have a good memory.
Mm-hmm.
And we cover up, like you said, well, I don't have my glasses and so forth. But my main struggle right now is spelling, and I don't know what to do to improve on that.
Yeah, there are some technologies where you can speak into the computer and have the computer recognize your voice and get it on paper. One of the... should I say a name brand?
Yeah, sure.
You know, one of the most popular ones is, I think it's Dragon Speaking Naturally, and that's something you can buy in a local technology store. But the computer will learn your voice, and then you can start to talk into the computer. And that's a reasonable accommodation for someone who has a learning disability, or spelling is a part of that disability, that you be able to have some support and accommodations for your writing. So check out Dragon Speaking Naturally. I think that's the appropriate name of Dragon Speaking Naturally.
Okay. Well, David, good luck to you, and thank you so much for giving us a phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Richard calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Richard. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I came into the program late, and you were talking about the topic of stuttering, and I'm not sure what your topic is. Can you tell me again what the...
Well, we're talking about literacy, adult literacy, and helping adults improve their reading skills, and certainly beyond that, acquiring a GED or a high school diploma. There's a program, and Leicester Johnson, she is CEO of the Academy of Hope Adult Public Charter School here in Washington, D.C., but please go right ahead.
Okay, then in my case, I have a young man that I'm working with, and he stutters very constantly. And I'd like to know how Dr. Johnson feels that would affect a person's self-esteem. He's about 30 years old, and how I can help by guiding him to some help.
Yeah, stutterers I can often experience low self-esteem. You know, if you were teased as a kid, I know a lot of, when I was in school, there were a couple of young people who were in my classes who got teased miserably. One part of it is just, you know, trying to find the help for him. If he's really looking to improve his speaking skills, there are some breathing techniques that he can learn to help improve his speaking. But the other part is just accepting, self-acceptance. You know, sometimes we all have differences, you know, and the first step in learning how to, you know, improving your self-esteem is just accepting that this is a part of me. You either accept it or you don't, but also getting some support if it's something that he really wants to improve, and finding some help with some breathing techniques and other speech support.
Let me also suggest, Richard, that here at Howard University, there is a speech and hearing clinic. And Dr. Martine Ellie, she is at the head of that speech and hearing clinic. If you call the university and ask for the speech and hearing clinic, you may be able to find some resources. Dr. Ellie has been on this program specifically talking about stuttering and other kinds of speech and hearing deficits, and that program has been able to work miracles, I would dare say, with the things that they are doing to help people with speech issues and hearing. It is the Speech and Hearing Clinic, and it's here at Howard University. You can certainly Google it. It will come up, and perhaps you can help that young man or point him in the direction of the Speech and Hearing Clinic here at Howard University. You never know what may come of that. But thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate it. I wanted to, in the time that I have, you know, during the break, you were talking about some of the issues that some other people are having when they come to the clinic, and how they relate or do not relate to their family regarding these issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of callers ago talked about keeping a secret. And there are many adults who are struggling with low literacy, and they keep it from their families. We've had students who didn't tell their spouse or their children that they were coming to the school at night. They said they were working a part-time job, but they kept it from them the entire time that they were with us. And it wasn't until they graduated or that they knew they had passed the exam that they told their family members. But it's a hard secret to keep. And, you know, when someone walks through our doors, we know that it takes a lot of courage to say, I want to do something about this. And getting them in that door, our goal is to just keep them moving and not let them fall off the list or fall off from contact with us, because we know taking that first step is a really tough thing to do.
How long is the program for an individual who may be an adult but reading perhaps on a third or fourth grade level?
It can take 2 to 3 years. Okay. I mean, it's not an overnight thing. With the old GED, for someone who was coming in, and most of the adults who are coming into our program are reading at about a sixth grade level or lower and doing math at fourth or lower. We tell them that you should expect that it's going to take you about a year or more to get through your program. And it's very individualized. So we're not moving people. We're moving them at their own individual pace. As they build skills, they move into the next class, or they get different work from the other students. There's a very individualized program.
What part do you believe technology plays in illiteracy? There, you know, we are in the information age. You were talking about some of the tools that people can use to help them read. But suffice it to say, any late model computer or software will do the reading for you, which allows those who may not be reading well to work around that issue. Is that hurting people who want to learn how to read?
I think anything that supports a person understanding the written word is helpful. You know, what we want people to do is learn the skills to be able to do it themselves. Some people do have very serious learning disabilities and need those supports, those accommodations. And my whole mission is about people being able to function in society. And if it means they need to hear it read to them, I'm okay with that. If it means that this person is sort of left in the dark because they aren't able to get the information because they can't read, I'm not for that. You mentioned in the last segment that learning to read opens up a whole world. We were talking to a woman a couple of days ago who said that once she started to read, she could read every street sign. She talked about going from D.C. to Baltimore, and she was so proud of herself because she read every single street sign, which she wasn't able to do, you know, a couple of years prior to that.
So. I cannot imagine the joy that someone would feel in doing something that most of us who read well would consider very, very simple. And I think for those who, yeah, do things like read books, you know, with paper and stuff like that, you know, one of the biggest joys for me is sometimes being able to sit down and to read and to comprehend. And it was even mentioned, you know, earlier, and I think this is really, you know, critical for, you know, for people of faith who are trying to, you know, read Bibles or devotionals, mm-hmm. being able to do it on your own when you want to.
Yes.
You know, not only is intellectually enriching, but certainly spiritually enriching as well.
Mm-hmm. We have a number of seniors who've enrolled in our programs. You know, the oldest student that we've had was 80. Our oldest graduate was 76. But we have a fair number of students who are in their late 60s and 70s. And the reason that they've come back, they want a high school diploma. You know, it's something that they don't need it for work at this point, but it's something they've always wanted. But it is for the joy of reading the Bible. Or I have grandchildren and I can't read their little books. They bring them to me and I'd love to be able to have my grandchild sit in my lap and I read a book to them. So those kinds of things, you know, it's not always just about getting the diploma for work, but just for simple enjoyment of reading. And reading the Bible for a lot of the folks that are in our program is one of those top priorities.
Lisester Johnson, I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing this really critically important topic with us. And as always, we're going to be posting that information on our website at whur.com before the evening is over. And for those of you who are interested in improving your skills, please be strong, be encouraged. And just go do it. Again, it will open up in an incredible world for you. So thank you so much for listening to this program. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, September 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher.